Deuteronomy chapter 19. When Yahweh your God shall cut off the nations whose land Yahweh your God gives you, you must set apart three cities for you in the midst of your land, which Yahweh your God gives you. You shall prepare the way and divide the borders of your land, so that any manslayer may flee there. This is the case of the manslayer who can flee there and live. Whoever kills his neighbour unawares and didn't hate him in time past, as when a man goes into the forest with his neighbour to chop wood, and the axe head flies off and hits his neighbour so that he dies, he can flee to one of those cities and live. Lest the avenger of blood pursue the manslayer while his heart is hot and overtake him because the way is long and kill him, whereas he was not worthy of death because he didn't hate him in time past. So these manslayers are a bit like us, really, that we sin and therefore we must die. And yet, as Paul says, the good that I would, I find I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I do. I think the idea is that, yeah, it was not presumptuous sin. It was not a person saying, well, I don't care about God's law, I shall purposefully break it. That's not you and me. We are more like this person who is out chopping wood and accidentally, or not intentionally, the axe head flies off and kills somebody. And so the near relative of that person, the avenger of blood, can kill us. Well, they were to mark out a way so that they could run into one of the cities of refuge. And they could stay there safe. And then when the high priest died, they were free. In Hebrews, we're told that we have fled for refuge to the great hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. So we are in this position. The city of refuge is like the Lord Jesus. And of course, the death of the high priest looks forward to his death. So when you sin, know the way to the city of refuge, like they were to mark out the path, the road that led there. Drop everything and run there. Repent as soon as possible and ask for God's forgiveness. He is the refuge where we can flee. Go there immediately. Don't leave it to the end of the day or next week or whatever, because human nature has an awful way of justifying sin. If you look at the list of where these cities were, they were typically in the mountains or in the desert. So the person had to make quite some effort to get there. Like with us, we can't just shrug and assume that God will sort of deal with sin like it's a sort of an auto response. Not at all. We are to make some conscious effort. If Yahweh your God enlarges your borders, as he promised to your fathers, and gives you all the land he promised to give to your fathers, that is, right up to the Euphrates, if you keep all this commandment, then you shall add three cities more, so that innocent blood will not be shed in your land. So then God would have provided them with a far bigger land and with more cities of refuge. The tragedy is that they didn't really want that expansion of the kingdom. They were just satisfied with getting on with farming their bit of land that they had. They weren't bothered to even subdue the land of Canaan, which was only a fairly small fraction of the territory that had been promised to them. But if any man hates his neighbor and rises up against him and strikes him so that he dies and flees into one of these cities, the elders of his city must send and bring him from there and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. Your eye shall not pity him. So then, what defined whether this was a sin that you could be saved from or not was whether you hated the person whom you'd killed before. That was what defines it. Of course, so often we're told, and John's letters are very clear, that if you hate your brother in your heart, you do not love the God whom you have not seen, if you can't love your brother whom you have seen. This is the critical issue. This is why we're given brothers and sisters in Christ, within the church, within the body of believers, so that we can develop that love and learn not to hate. And this is very, very difficult, given the fact that we're all human and people sin against each other. You must not remove your labour's landmark, which those of old time have set, in your inheritance, which you shall inherit, in the land that Yahweh gives you. So each Israelite family were given a specific area that they were to inherit. They were not to sell this. In fact, they couldn't sell it, because even if they did, it was to return to them in the Jubilee year. That's why Naboth refused to sell his vineyard to Ahab, the king, not for any money. He could not sell it. And so it is with us, that we each have an individual, unique inheritance in God's kingdom. As Jesus said in the letters in Revelation, it is like a stone with a name written on it that nobody knows apart from us and the Lord Jesus. So we're all made differently. We've all got a different fingerprint and a different iris in our eye, and we've all been through a different path in life. And so we will each be given something absolutely unique, something tailor-made to us in God's kingdom, just as they were each given a unique inheritance. So then we will not be sitting around doing nothing in the kingdom of God. We will be being taught by God and by Jesus to do specific things that only we can do. We'll be active, and man is never better than when he is doing something that he loves doing and is for God and is achieving it to God's glory. And that's what we shall do forever and ever.